Amen. Please turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Let's see if I can get through this. And the fact is, Luke wrote it, so we're just going to look at it and talk about what's going on in the life of Jesus. Now, we are in the last week of Jesus' life. And I don't know if you've ever realized when reading the Gospels that almost half of the story in the Gospels involve the last week of Jesus' life. That's how important it is to the gospel writers, and specifically to Luke now. So we're going to look at what Luke has to say to Theophilus about this time. Last week, we saw the triumphal entry. We saw Jesus go in and clear out the temples, even though Luke didn't mention the money changers, and probably for reasons that didn't want to disturb the Romans, okay? But he turned over the money tables, and he cleared out all the livestock, and he said, this is supposed to be a place of prayer for the nations, for nation, the whole nations, all the nations to gather. He said, instead, you've made it into a place where you rob people, a den of robbers. They were making money off of it. So now, Jesus has taken over the temple. He did not go to Herod's palace. He did not go to the Roman garrison. He went to the temple. And if you remember some stories at the very beginning of Luke, remember that one that we have that Mary told Jesus, or told Luke about Jesus when he was 12, going to the temple and staying there. He says, "It's my Father's house. I have to be about my Father's business." Well, Jesus is back, and right now, he's in control of the temple, and that is really getting to the religious leaders, because this is the time they make all their money. So what we're going to see in chapter 20 is their attempt to get rid of Jesus, to get him out of the temple. And they start with this fascinating question about authority. Authority. Who told you could do this? Basically, this question has to do with who speaks for God. Is it the high priest, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the teachers of the law? Or is it Jesus? Now, they think they have the authority. They've claimed the authority. And that's what happens in this debate. In chapter 20, verse 1, he says, one day, as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. So basically, this is the Sanhedrin. This is the ruling authority in the land. He says, tell us, by what authority you're doing these things? They said, who gave you this authority? We don't remember telling you could do this. We are the authority. Well, it's an interesting question, because how does Jesus prove he has the authority? Well, Matthew tells us during this time he's doing miracles in the temple courts. You think that would get their attention? Well, they've been ignoring miracles the whole ministry of Jesus for the last 3 years. This is a group that you are not going to sway, because they think they know the answer to this question. They think they have the authority, and they don't want Jesus to think that he has it. So Jesus doesn't answer their question. He does this instead. He replied, I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Remember back at the beginning when John was preaching baptism repentance, telling them that they needed to start over to become children of Abraham, children of faith? They needed to make that decision. And everybody went out to be baptized except the religious leaders. So Jesus brings that back up. And this is an interesting, just the mental picture here. They discussed it among themselves. This is going to be a big huddle. Okay? You know, have you ever had a little sidebar here? let's talk this over. Well, I don't know how many of them are there, but there's quite a few. And so everybody in this group who thinks they have the authority probably had something to say about this. They're going to come to a group consensus answer for Jesus. Was John's baptism from God or not? It says here, they discussed among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? Excellent question. And if we say from men, all the people will stone us because they were persuaded that John was a prophet. Wow, that's a tough thing. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Literal rocks, stoning. Okay, I won't try any more puns. Okay, it's just not, it's one of those days it just doesn't work. Okay, so they answered, we don't know where it was from. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John couldn't convince you. You're afraid of the people. Are you listening to God? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to answer your question. And they had to take that. And they retreated. And Jesus and the apostles are still in charge of the temple. Yeah. It's a fascinating situation. In this situation, Jesus tells a parable. Now, I'd like to remind people, a parable is a story, something they can relate to, something that they've seen every day, that has a spiritual meaning. The text tells us that Jesus told parables so that seeing they don't see and hearing they don't hear, because it leaves some interpretation. Well, he's going to tell a parable, and the religious leaders are going to get it right away. They're going to get this parable. So here, this is the parable Jesus tells. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard. He rented it to some farmers and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Okay. I'm just going to give you the parameters of this parable, okay? God is the one who planted the vineyard. The vineyard would be the land of Canaan, the whole Jewish faith, right? And what he was expecting from them is some respect, expecting some gratitude, expecting that they would learn to love the way that he loves, forgive the way he forgives, accept the way he accepts. So he sent somebody to him, and that would be the prophet, the prophets. And it never went well for the prophets. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's okay, so they beat him and they sent him away. And then he says, he sent another servant, read prophet, but that one, they beat him and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard, it's God, said, what shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. This is the heir, they said. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Well, that's the plan. But there's something really, really interesting in here. And it doesn't feel good at all. They thought if they killed the son, it would belong to them. They would be in charge of the vineyard. Well, that's so silly, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But this is where we have to look at it in our life and say, hey, do we do this? Do we have God in control, or do we think that we would do a better job? And that's where the religious leaders are right now, in this text, talking to Jesus. Are they open to the idea that God has sent his son? No. They're only open to the idea that they have the authority, that they can make the decisions, that they can tell everybody how it's going to go, because they've got their stuff together. And then God shows up. And they have a chance to listen to him, right? They have a chance to learn, but they don't, because they think they can do a better job. This is what we struggle with in our sinful nature. This is when we pray the Lord's Prayer and try to get it right, you know. We want you to be king. We want you to be king of our lives, even though we think that we can do a better job. We think that we're more qualified for it, but we want you to be king. They really thought they could do a better job. And they thought if they killed him, they'd be in control. And that's their plan. And here's how they responded to it. He says, where are we here? Okay, in the second part of verse 15. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Whew. That sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus has been saying. Think 70 AD. It gets destroyed. And who's in charge then? Well, hopefully it's people who are following the Son. And hopefully it gets back to the message that this is for all nations, not just us. And hopefully it's people that understand that Jesus is revealing God. Luke puts something in here the other gospel writers don't. He says, when the people heard this, they say, may this never be. Now, we don't know what part they're responding to. Are they responding to the fact that something's going to end? Are they responding to the fact that they think their religious leaders are going to kill Jesus? We don't know. But we know that it brought about this proclamation that no. And Luke heard that. He heard that from somebody who was there. So, this is where the religious leaders repent and they listen to Jesus. No, not in this translation. It says here, verse 17, Jesus looked directly at them and asked, then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. That's an interesting use of Psalm 118. And we saw them quote Psalm 118 in the last chapter as they were coming into Jerusalem. Yeah, the capstone, the one that the builders rejected. And they're going to reject Jesus. And it says here, the teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. They got it. They got this parable. They did not like it. They weren't really open to the message. They want to kill the one who spoke the message. But they can't. They can't right now because they're afraid of those people. The people over whom they've been lording. The people over whom they've been exerting their authority. The people over whom they've been controlling by using religious means. The people over whom they have been taking money. They're afraid. That's round one. Next week, we look at it, we're going to see the folks take a different route. Have to do with taxes, which is our favorite thing to talk about this time of year. It's that time of year. Yeah. So, what's it mean when somebody gets a parable and completely rejects it? What's it mean? What's it mean for us? What's it mean for us? Is it possible that any of these shoes fit? That we are still in control of part of our life because we don't acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? We'll give him this part, but not this part. We want you to be king, but we want you to be king of just this section. We have a better idea over here. Yeah, we know we're supposed to love, but I just can't bring myself to do it. I've got a better idea. I'm going to hate. I know I'm supposed to forgive. I pray about it all the time, but I have a better idea. I'm going to hold on to a grudge. I'm going to hold on to somebody who has done me wrong. I'm going to hold on to those feelings. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to accept people that aren't like me. I know that I have a tendency to just want everybody to be like me, but I have a better idea. They need to be like me. What part aren't we giving Jesus the authority? What part? What part is he not king of? What part are we willing to kill him over and over again? Because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it anymore. Either Jesus is Lord or he's not. Either you accept Jesus' authority, that he has revealed God, that he has revealed what you were supposed to be like, that he knows. He knows what's best for you. Either you've come to trust that, or you haven't. Or maybe you trusted it one time and you've quit trusting it, and now you want to be in control again. Every week when we gather, we remember the sacrifice. We remember that we would have put Jesus out of Jerusalem and crucified him also. And every week as we do this, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and we repent and we say, I want Jesus to be in control. And we're going to do it again today. And hopefully we're going to do it with the attitude that says, I need you to be Lord. And I need forgiveness. And I want to submit to you as Lord in every part of my life. Before we do that, we're going to ask the music.